This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hey everybody, this is Chase from Barrel Age Flicks. Go ahead and check out our Patreon for raw, uncut footage and early access to all of our episodes. The link is in the description and it's only $5 a month. Thanks for listening.
Hello there, I'm Melanie Mitchell, Deputy Press Secretary. I'll be taking you in from here.
Oh, Miss Mitchell, it is so nice to finally meet you in person.
The President and I were delighted we could accommodate your news crew. So if you boys are all clear.
Well, now it's public. Now it's policy. Get behind it.
The Allies are going to be very upset they weren't consulted about this.
They might come back and bite us in the ass in November.
It's the right thing to do. And you know it. But do yourself a favor. It's policy. Drop it or find yourself another ride home.
Mr. President, the Russian news crew is with us. I told him you'd give him a soundbite about life in the White House.
There is no life in the White House.
What's going on?
Shots fired, sir!
Family, what about my family?
We're handling it, sir!
Ramstein Tower, this is Air Force One.
We are code red. Shots fired on board. Request emergency assistance, ETA 15 minutes.
No, you listen to me. I don't know who you are or what you want, but you will never get it. He will not negotiate.
What are your intentions?
What arrogance to think you could ever understand my intentions.
Nobody does this to the United States. The President will get back his baseball glove and play catch with this guy's balls.
You are a monster. And my father is a great man. You're nothing like my father.
It's someone who's smart enough to know if you're hunting with one bullet, you wait for a clean shot.
What are you saying, Major?
I'm saying, sir, whoever that is down there, he may be our only hope.
Is he saying what I think he's saying?
If we're going to act, we have to act now.
It's too risky.
The President is up there with a gun to his head.
He's asking us to do that? To Air Force One?
He's not asking. Your Commander-in-Chief has issued a direct order. Do it!
What are our tactical options?
We're working on that, Mr. President, but the bastards do have us in a corner.
There is no rescue attempt.
I ruled out a mid-air rescue. There's nothing we can do while the plane is still in the air.
And we gotta get this plane on the ground.
You just murdered an unarmed woman.
You who murdered 100,000 Iraqis to save a nickel or a gallon of gas are going to lecture me about the rules of war?
Come on, man, for Christ's sake, hurry up.
Sir, if you get the wrong wire, you'll cut the engine feeds and the plane will crash.
Well, then we don't want to get the wrong wire, do we? I'll do anything to save my family. Don't ask me for something I can't give.
The most powerful man on the earth, and now suddenly there are things you cannot do. This is very curious. Stop with your fucking
life! Get off my plane.
What's going on, cinephiles? This is Barrel Age Flicks. I'm Lenny. Yeah, man. And this is...
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Ron. Words are hard.
Plus...
This is Stu, and I'm a pretty fucking princess.
We also have...
Hey, this is Ragnar.
Vagina Natasha!
And finally...
Fuck you, Chase!
Yeah, fuck me. All right, hey, everybody.
And Lenny. I'm not fucking here, folks.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to BAF.
Get off my plane.
You got a president in me.
What the
So, of course, we are going to be doing...
That'll make sense later.
We are going to be doing...
Indiana Jones on a plane.
I can't even say because you're making...
You're welcome.
So today we'll be reviewing Indiana Jones on a plane.
So we are doing Air Force One. This movie was released July 27th, 1997, directed by the famous Wolfgang Petersen. May he rest in peace. He just passed away not too long ago, actually.
Yes, R.I.P.
And he's done
for some reason. I really thought my mind derailed for a second. I was like, directed by the famous Wolfgang Puck.
I knew it. Wrong gang of wolves.
Yes.
He also directed some
movie.
But he directed some good movies here. I mean, he directed The Neverending Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic right there. He did Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Das Boot. He also did Outbreak.
Yes.
He did The Perfect
Fuck That Little Monkey.
The Perfect right? Storm.
Yes.
Amazing he also movie. Did In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Another good one. He did Enemy Mine.
Oh, I love that one.
Exactly.
I fucking loved Enemy Mine.
Yeah. And one of my personal favorites, Troy. And he also did the Poseidon remake, which was probably one of his worst movies.
You think?
Oh, the newer one?
It would have been better if he released a director's cut, because apparently there was a lot of shit they cut out.
Yeah.
But it was too short, and it just didn't have enough character development inside that.
You're talking about the Poseidon Adventure?
No, the Poseidon Adventure is the original. The new one's just called Poseidon.
Yeah, got it.
But it's based on the original. The Poseidon Adventure from the 70s, that's great.
I like that.
With Gene Hackman, mm-hmm. That's a fucking great movie.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah, no, I love that movie. It's a classic movie from the 70s. It's one of the old disaster flicks like The Towering Inferno and stuff like that. The budget of this movie was $95 million. It made $315 million. Worldwide. This was a big money maker.
Great success.
Yeah.
Yes, great success.
The movie stars, of course, the famous Harrison Ford, which I believe this is our first movie we've done with Harrison Ford. I don't think we've done any other ones with Harrison Ford. Do you recall doing any? Because I am
shocked that we haven't.
We have not done any Harrison Ford movies. We've done a Star Wars movie.
Episode 150 almost?
We're at 130s or something like that.
All right. How have we not done a Harrison Ford film?
I know. It's kind of crazy. It also stars Gary Oldman, which I guess he would be right now another BAF Hall of Famer, because we did The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know. Did we do a second one with him in it? I'm trying to remember if we did or not.
I'm going to have to look at his IMDb.
I don't think we have, actually. I don't think we did, believe it or not.
I have way too...
We've done so many fucking movies. I have to do the research and find out. Also stars Glenn Close, Wendy Crewson, Paul Guilfoyle, Xander Berkeley, William H. Macy.
Fucking Dracula.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
we just recorded that.
Wow. And did it. And literally number three on his fucking goddamn filmography. Fuck, did we forget that?
Well, it was just me who forgot. You forgot too.
Yes, we have the dumb.
Yes.
We got Dean Stockwell, Tom Everett. We have Liesl Matthews as the daughter of the president. So there's a lot of good actors in this one. Now, we have a lot of great movies that came out around the same time as this. So let's see here. We got Good Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. How may I take your order?
We got Spawn. Nothing to Lose.
Oh, whatever.
Fuck
you, dude. Spawn's good, man.
Spawn sucks.
Go fuck yourself. It's good.
It's not a bad movie. It was actually pretty enjoyable, to tell you the truth.
Crystal's mom loves that movie. I'm just like, nah.
She has good taste.
The Brendan Fraser George of the Jungle. We also have Contact.
You would say that's a good movie.
It's all right.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
How about Contact? You guys a fan of Contact? I love that movie.
That's Robert good, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great great sci-fi movie. We also have the famous Men in Black, the original. Yes.
That's a good one. Fucking movie.
And then
that's okay. It's all right.
And then we have the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie, Wild America. I'm sure you guys remember that one.
Which one?
Wild America.
That sounds like a documentary.
It's about three brothers who go out on a, I don't really, it's like a 90s like kids
Wild
movie.
Wild America.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. All right, so Ragnar picked the, wait a minute, did you pick the drink?
What?
You picked the drink, didn't you?
No.
Who picked the drink?
This got handed to me.
By who?
Actually, this got handed to you. And so the backstory of this bullshit. My adorable wife.
Spicy Booner!
Oh! Yeah, you fuckhorn!
I was really hoping one of you two would.
Oh, it's definitely not me.
I was really hoping one of you two would. Like, when he was like, who picked it? Who picked it? I'm like, one of them say it. One of them say it. One of them say it.
Son of a fucking bitch.
It's a real time.
I love it.
Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you, Ron.
Big fuck you by Stu.
You know what? You know, I don't feel too creative. Let's go ahead and just take your new punishment shot.
What? I would rather you give me something else.
Thank you, Crystal.
What are we calling that?
The watermelon fuckwad.
There we go. Watermelon fuckwad.
You know, it's got a ring.
Crystal's Grace.
Crystal's Grace.
Yes, Crystal's Grace.
Yeah, they both have a nice ring to it.
Oh, go ahead and tell the story, Ragnar, or I pour this piece of shit fucking drink.
What's he telling the story about?
Your mom.
About how the movie was picked.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, so my glorious wife, Snow, decided to grab this beer from Total Wine, and she's like, hey, this would make a good movie for Air Force One.
A good drink for Air Force.
A good drink for Air Force One.
I was going to say, really?
I don't know. We'll find out if the drink is a good movie or not. See if it tells a good story. And so Ron, like, hey, since Snow picked it, why don't you do the fucking growling movie?
That was him groaning.
I was like, sure, why not? So here I am with Air Force One.
You are such a fucking pussy.
I don't like this.
Are you still dreading it? I thought, you took it like a champ last time. See?
Just let it slide down your throat.
Swallow.
Shut up. Don't even say that.
Watermelon. Watermelon. Oh, yeah. Watermelon sugar. Sorry, no. Watermelon, my lord.
Hi. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got, so that's the story behind this pick.
Okay.
It's not my pick.
Do you know there's a sequel to this?
This what? Is a joke. I know.
No, I swear to God. There's a fucking sequel.
I have not heard that.
Called Air Force Two.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Hand of fucking God. When I was looking through.
Really?
I was going through all the fucking streaming services looking to see if this was, you know, on, you know, anything for free. Because I'm a cheap fuck.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that flopped.
All right. It's Air Force Two.
You could rent this son of a bitch for $14.99. You know that?
There's really an Air Force Two?
Yes.
Or you can buy it for $17.99.
Is it an unofficial sequel? All right, so it's about the vice president's plane going down in some fucking weird fucking jungle fucking country or whatever.
Come on, really?
But it's told, I'm trying to be politically correct-ish about this. So it was told that, so it was a female Secret Service agent.
Called
that,
in her line of fire.
Yes. That
in her line of fire?
Yes, because it was a female Secret Service agent that was trying to protect the vice president.
Dude, I'm just looking at screen caps and it looks like some dog shit.
It tells a very lesbian, it was like a lesbian action hero was the with the whole fucking push of this.
Really?
Yeah, a lesbian action hero. Like, the early 2000s, or was it the 20s? Even that's somewhere to 2000, somewhere in 2003, 2013. Okay, somewhere in there.
Is this a porn?
Okay. No,
Jesus Christ,
not at all.
I'm sorry, you're bringing
up that. He's a lesbian, and the only thing he knows is that lesbian is porn. No. All right,
I was like, what? What am I? I was just so blown away.
David Keith, Mariel Hemingway, David. Mariel Hemingway
was the lesbian action hero.
Oh, I was thinking of Keith David. You said David Keith?
Yeah, David Keith.
Oh, okay.
This serial killing looking motherfucker.
What's he look like? Oh,
okay. He's a character actor. You've seen him in a lot of things.
That looks like your boss
when he's younger.
It looks like Terry.
I'm staying out of this.
You don't think that looks like Terry?
No. Or as we call him, Tater.
That's interesting. So what are we drinking?
So we got Commander Chief. Triple IPA from Brothers Craft Brewing.
What I like about this can, though, is that it has a plane on it, which I did not notice before, that it's got a plane and it says Commander Chief.
It's a fucking central fucking goddamn picture in it.
I didn't look at the I just saw the Commander Chief at the bottom. I didn't look at when he first showed this to me, I didn't see it.
The guy that can hardly read didn't even pay attention to the pictures. I'm fucking flabbergasted.
I am bamboozled.
Pictures are hard.
Oh, man.
Pictures are hard. So far you said words are hard, as obviously all the time.
Math is hard.
Numbers are hard.
Numbers are hard.
Now pictures are hard. How do you function as a fucking human being in this world?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Oh my God.
Shut the fuck up. It is what it is.
Oh man.
Go ahead, Ragnar.
Are we getting a tax break from Uncle Sam for having you as a part of the show?
He's a diversity hire.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I wasn't looking at it.
I'm fucking dying.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. Go ahead, Ragnar.
Yep. So please subscribe.
Yes. Oh God!
If you're enjoying this, please check out the rest of the shows on this awesome network, The Den.
Oh, by the way, these aren't even
the bloopers, guys.
Yeah, the Deluxe Edition Network is a fucking amazing. Got great fucking shows on there. You all have to check that out. I mean, seriously,
not all of them have fucking diversity hires.
They don't have a man that ruins his words and pictures and numbers.
You don't even know what the fuck you're saying now.
I'm just fucking.
You're trying to fucking climb out of the hole.
I'm trying to. I keep digging the hole worse. Just digging myself a fucking grave.
Shovel down. All right, so we got Commander in Chief Triple IPA. Represents all the commanding elements you'd expect from the top dog.
What is IPA?
IPA.
Imperial Pale Ale.
Hot shit. You got that shit right. I'm very India proud of you, Ron.
I'm not fucking that up again.
Fuck
that.
We are all very proud of you, Ron.
It's India Pale Ale.
It's not Imperial.
Did he say Imperial?
He did. Yes. That's what I was like. What the fuck are you doing?
Indian Pale Ale. India Pale
I super
no. No.
They both got it wrong.
So,
I say we should punish them.
They both
look what you fucking started, man.
So,
I'm in it with you, buddy.
What the fuck? Both of you spin that fucking beautiful wheel. Roll that beautiful bean footage. Punishment by Ron. So I get to pick my own drink.
You do.
Yep. I get to pick my own drink.
That's the way it rolls.
Yep.
Well, thankfully, Jameson's already there, right?
Yep. I'm going to pour my shot. Yeah.
Yep. Stop where you're ahead.
Man, I superimposed success on you, and I just fucked myself from it.
Thankfully, you said it was confidence. My mind was like, am I right?
I got to pick something.
Motherfucker. Yeah,
no, why are you mad? You got to as well.
What did it say? Grab something yummy. Oh.
Well,
we both got lucky.
Got lucky.
We are rewarding them for bad behavior.
I know.
We are horrible parents.
You know,
bullshit.
We appreciate you. I'm gonna unfuck this wheel of fuckery here.
Oh, that's why. It's rigged.
What does that do?
Screws hold things together, sir.
No, I thought it tightens the wheel. That's not what I meant. I thought that tightens the wheel or something.
That'd be the center of screw. The center of screw is what will tighten the wheel.
That's what I was talking about.
Crystal, are you okay?
We haven't even popped the top on the drink.
We're 15 minutes in, and he still hasn't explained
it. I haven't even talked about the fucking beer yet. So the commander in chief, I'm going to start over. The commander in chief, Triple IPA, represents all the commanding elements you'd expect from the top dog. Released for Independence Day, this regal ale combines quality of malt balance and in your face hops.
Nice.
Producing a refreshing but robust beer exploding with flavor.
Okay.
With a 10.1% alcohol by volume. This should be...
Oh, yeah, I got to take a drink.
This should be pretty fucking good.
Yeah, pick a shot.
Yeah.
Yes, Chase, you got to pick your shot. You got to take something.
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted.
You got that raspberry stuff right there.
Oh.
That's handy.
Yeah.
Shot of tequila would be nice.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Now you're ruining the fucking flow. God damn it, Ron. God damn it. I'm going to pause it.
No, I'm not going to pause it.
We're just going to leave this in the fucking show.
All right.
What did you choose? Organic.
Chase, what did you choose?
Malibu, yeah.
Malibu rum?
Yeah.
Malibu.
I like how I like.
No, Malibu whiskey.
Yeah, Malibu whiskey. That's exactly what it is. Fuck's sake.
Coconut whiskey. I'm just going to
shut up. You know, I feel like that might actually be pretty good.
No, it would not be good.
You don't think that would be good?
Coconut whiskey?
Yeah, why not?
No. No.
Why not?
I'm sure there is a coconut whiskey out there. I mean, they made peanut butter.
The person who came up with that, I'm sure the next fucking day they just fucking drove off a bridge with how miserable the life is.
But you enjoyed peanut butter whiskey. I mean, when you think of peanut butter whiskey, it's about the same. That peanut butter and coconut.
Peanut butter whiskey is
not the
delicious.
Same, but I mean, you enjoyed that one?
Yes, I fucking enjoyed
it. But it didn't taste like anything like
that
whiskey.
Thing was goddamn
good. Tastes like a fucking Reese's peanut butter
like
cup with alcohol.
It tastes like a boozy fucking, a whiskey filled fucking Reese's peanut butter cup.
As Tyler would say, blowing Mr. Peanut.
No, line me up and I will really? Fucking goddamn
double. There really is one. There, yeah, Scatterbrain Dark Cherry Vanilla Whiskey.
This is that's just called Coconut Cartel.
That's the wrong thing. You're interrupting the show
with wrong information.
Any more than we have been?
Yep, Beach Whiskey. Beach Whiskey, Coconut Whiskey. They do have one.
Coconut Cartel.
They are miserable people.
You know, I.
Wow.
I mean, I will try it.
Absolutely.
Well, here, before we take our shot, let's go ahead and try this beer.
Take your shots. Take your shots. I mean, they're all enjoyable shots for you. So.
Yeah, no, Jameson.
You were so gentle bringing that shot glass.
It was all the way to the top.
It was. But you're like,
I'm like, fuck.
All right, you guys ready?
Pinky up and everything. Fucking fancy boy.
Oh man, that's strict IPA right there.
I got no fucking fingernails.
Oh yes. All right. Skull.
Cheers.
Skull.
Fucker.
Chase, taking too long.
I'm slow, okay? Oh, that smells horrendous. Let's try it.
Oh god, no, that's not me.
Can I start it out?
Yeah. Yeah. I know you like it.
Okay.
This is very much like our current commander in chief. Forgettable. Very fucking forgettable.
Thank you.
All right. It is nothing special about it.
Oh,
it is your typical off the shelf IPA.
Does it remind you of that Chad Dukes beer?
No.
You think that was worse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. This is forgettable. This isn't bad. But it's not good either. It is.
It's an IPA.
Yeah, but and with no unique characteristics to it.
No.
That's why I said it's fucking forgettable. I'm going to say the only saving grace that I would say it might have is the fact that it's 10.1%.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That right there. So I can just I could literally just pound these and get myself feeling nice and nice.
But you wouldn't buy this though.
No. What was the price for a 4-pack?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Not worth it. If it comes in a 4-pack, then it's not worth it.
No, there are some great fucking 4-packs. You know, there are some great fucking craft beers.
I mean, by price point, but they're always going to be over like $12, $13, or $15.
Normally, I will absolutely. That's why I was asking in case, it might be cheap. You know?
This may have been, I don't even know, maybe $13, $15.
I could see it being right around that much.
Not worth it.
You know.
So what was your
I'm going to give it a half a thumb.
Half a thumb?
Yeah, it's forgettable. It has no uniqueness to whatever. If you close your eyes and you picture a Costco IPA, you know, off brand fucking IPA that has no real fucking uniqueness to it, no real originality to it.
Yeah.
That's this beer. And I'm going to go with a half thumb.
So about that coconut whiskey we were talking about, I found this shit. Comes into a goddamn like oil can.
Oh, that's a paint thinner can. That's a fucking paint thinner can.
Yes. That's $20 a can.
That's fucking
crazy. How big is the can?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't give you an answer.
I know.
I mean, if it's like a 750 milliliter, then that's a good fucking deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give my review.
I might buy that just to have the fucking
can.
That's $7.50.
All right. Is that sold? Can I pick it up at my local ABC store?
2 to 3 business days.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give my review. 2 thumbs down. I wouldn't drink this ever again.
You're not a big IPA.
You don't like it.
Well, no, the thing is, some IPAs have been decent. We've had some IPAs that I did not mind.
Overall, like you're not a fan.
Like no, overall. IPAs are not my favorite. It's the bitterness. This one just doesn't have any good taste to it. I don't taste anything. I mean, it's hoppy. I can tell it's very hoppy, but it's just not.
It's not even very hoppy.
Well, I mean, like I said,
it's not that. So a double. I would say this is a double
at most.
At the most,
yeah.
You know, a normal,
in my mind, when I'm saying a triple, I'm thinking. It's gonna knock you into fucking. Almost chewing that fucking hops.
Yeah.
All right. This, I'm disappointed. Snow, you done fucked up, Snow. You fucked around. Now you're gonna find out.
Ragnar, what's yours?
Normally, this one, this is just like any other fucking IPA. There's nothing to it, unfortunately. 10.1, I don't even taste that. Normally a fucking... I would say this is maybe like a 5.4 or but
That's why I'm saying it. That's its only redeeming factor. The fact that it is a 10.1, it can creep up on you. You pound these like that, and then...
Maybe that's what it'll do. It'll creep up on you.
That's why I'm saying that's its only redeeming feature, the fact that it is a 10.1. Yeah. It is a 20.2 proof fucking beer.
But like you said, you would not buy this again.
No. $15 a 4-pack? Fuck that.
Chase, what about you?
I give it a 1.
I'm surprised you gave it a 1.
I am too. Again, it's nothing to write home about.
It's nothing special.
It's...
The can's cool.
Cans are right.
It works for the movie. Yeah,
but I really thought I was gonna fucking hate it. Honestly,
see that's pretty normal for IPAs though. IPAs we have the great can art, but when it comes to taste, it's horrible. Usually, it's very rare that it's can art that pulls you in.
Fucking that aisle is in Total Wine
is IPAs
is the can art.
Yep.
For it. That's all that one side of the aisle is.
But we've had some decent ones though. We've had some really good ones.
No, it smells like trash. It doesn't taste much better, but as far as a beer goes, it's not bad. It's just nothing great.
No apple juice.
I
know.
You got
to
tell a little.
Especially if you compare it to
they
Corona.
They don't know what's going on.
Stu, go ahead and tell us a story about the apple juice.
He's over here slamming beers.
Okay. So we have a little beer fridge here. So I got stock with all different varieties. We all have our own personal, you know, go-to beers in there along with, you know, the different special beers.
The runoffs.
Yeah. So my go-to beer is Corona. You know, I'm not saying it's a great beer, but it's my go-to beer.
Yeah.
All right. So I got bottles and bottles of it in this, you know, fridge. Not even really looking, I grab a bottle that coloration-wise, the beer looks very similar to Corona. I grabbed something that I thought it was, may have just been turned around or without even paying attention. Just reach in and grab it.
I'm having a little smoke
out there,
break.
Having a smoke break in between a couple of shows. I pop the top and stuff like that and just talking. And I go to taste it, expecting a Corona. And mentally, I'm like, oh my God, this beer has gone bad. Something is wrong with this shit. I don't understand what I am processing right now. I'm drinking Corona in 112 degree fucking warm weather. You know, the sitting out in the sun all goddamn day. And this shit tastes off versus that. And then I turn it around and realize, oh, it's not Corona. Somebody put sparkling apple juice in a glass bottle in this fucking fridge. And it's not bad apple juice. I'm not saying that at all. It's nice mentally once I know it's apple juice. I'm like, oh, okay, this tastes good. But when you're expecting a Corona and you taste apple juice, it short circuits your fucking brain.
Yeah.
All right. You do not understand anything in the world anymore. That's what I'm dealing
really?
With right now.
Yes. Really? Your brain short-circuited on that one?
Yeah, it did. I honestly did not know what was going on. I thought I maybe had been having a stroke. I was waiting for the smell of boiled peanuts to waft by me.
Of a stroke?
That's one of the signs. Either burnt toast or boiled peanuts is some of the most common smells that are smells.
I thought it was burnt hair.
No, burnt toast or boiled peanuts are two of the most common reported smells when somebody's having a stroke.
No shit, I didn't know that.
It's your brain just going,
that would explain a lot then.
Yeah. Okay.
You said burnt toast or what?
Boiled peanuts.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're the same, but it's just those are the two most common reports when somebody has a stroke that an experience that they're smelling at the time.
Right, yeah.
But how can they fucking articulate if they're having a stroke?
It's afterwards. Ones who made it through. It's like, yeah, I smelt burnt toast, and then my arm fucking didn't move, and my half my face didn't fucking respond.
And they're just like, ding-ding-ding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But when they came out, that's
but what if they're still report. Like, ding, ding, ding.
But then they're not going to say.
What if they're like in Ted 2?
No, then they're now. That's the same boiled peanuts.
Oh, they sewed some shit up in the wrong places, so I'm a little fucked up.
I smelled boiled peanuts and bad shit.
But will you still love me forever and ever?
Oh, shit. All right, guys. Well, we will. Everybody who's going to hell, raise your hand.
All right, guys. Well, we will be right back.
Hey, this is Casey Shearer.
And Ray the Podcaster.
If you like pop culture.
And I know you do.
Then come check us out over at deluxeedition.show.
You will not be sorry.
So, here we go. So, we got Air Force One after the horrible fucking triple IPA.
I will agree with that.
Brothers Craft Brewing. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, the movie stars Harrison Ford, takes place in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And the premise is of this movie that Harrison Ford, president, they are doing a summit in Russia, some sort of basically it boils down to like a few weeks after special forces come in and
take a tyrant out, take Boris president out.
Yep. Who is played. Oh, geez. I can't even fucking pronounce his damn name.
I think he's
Jürgen Prochnow.
I felt like I've seen him in other things.
He's been
in a lot of movies.
He has been in a few other things.
He was in the Da Vinci Code.
That's him.
He was also in Das Boot.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
He's been in a handful of other things.
And the opening scene of the movie, you see special forces coming in and they basically fucking demolish his security, which is extreme.
That was ridiculous.
It was. See, and I knew you would do this too. I knew it.
Oh my God.
It, like, you're running down the fucking hallway and you're just basically you're spraying and praying, and everyone is getting fucking knocked down. All the opposing forces are getting knocked down, and you run in and you get him out of his fucking bunk. And normally you put a bag over their fucking head and you control the fucking opposition, right?
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
No, you put it looks like a fucking garrote wire.
Yeah, yeah.
Around his fucking neck.
It was a garrote.
I swore. So when I first watched this movie many years ago,
my first problem was showing a Halo jumpers coming in white parachutes at night.
No, they were black.
They were white.
Oh, was it white?
They were fucking white.
They were white?
I thought, that's my
fault. That's what it looked like on my screen.
I thought it was black.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he also takes a pot shot.
Yeah, exactly.
With a pistol midair. Nails a headshot from like 150 yards.
It's well past the fucking yardage of that pistol.
Okay, so to be fair, I have hit an 8-inch target at right around 170 yards with my Glock 19.
That's different.
Standing on a porch, very level, very still, and I was very fucking impressed. There's no fucking way.
You do that in the fucking air on a parachute.
Yeah, no absolutely not.
Well, we're talking about a movie here. You know that nothing's gonna be realistic.
No, I know, but we're
you could at least make it believable.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone had fucking red dots on, and everyone,
oh, and I love the sound effects of the NVGs.
The single nod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. I want
my covert operations equipment to be as loud as fucking possible. That's what setting I'm gonna put on.
If you're fucking in the air,
does it? Does it really not?
No, it doesn't.
How about if you use it any other fucking time?
But we're not talking about any other time.
Okay.
We're talking about in the air. Hello.
Bro, I was raging. I'm not going to fucking lie.
So special forces capture him and they put a fucking garrote wire around his neck.
And drag him out.
I mean, to be fair. If I do put a garrote wire around your neck, You're not going where I'm fucking taking you.
Oh, exactly.
You're coming with me.
Now, for that one, I'm not saying it's ineffective.
Yeah. Yes, you are coming with me with zero fight from you.
Yes, exactly. Right.
I'm not saying it's ineffective. I'm just saying it's unrealistic. Because let me tell you, less than lethal would be a great idea, because if you got that shit and you're like, go this way, trip. Oh, yeah, fuck. Right?
you killed a fucking tyrant. All right.
We got rid of the opposition. No harm, no foul.
Well, that was not the mission, sir. What happened? I don't know. Kowalski over there fucking ganked his ass.
No, I'll be like,
God damn it, Carl.
I was thinking that.
His own people did it. That's the story I'm selling, and you're buying it.
Right?
Shut the fuck up, Carl.
Yep.
Because remember, America does not take down sitting fucking political leaders. We do not do that.
No.
Hilarious. Sorry. No, we're talking about official. Yeah.
No,
technically, it's against our rules.
Do that.
No, we simply push the domino.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, make sure the rest of them fall, even if it stops.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. fast forward a little bit. And then you got Harrison Ford, who is playing President James Marshall.
Yep.
And he's giving a speech, and it's basically a summit in Russia. And he's supposed to give his prepared speech, and he takes the opposition of he's going to give his own. And basically it boils down to, we are not going to stand for any more of tyranny.
There we go.
Tyranny.
Words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
Only tyranny. Me.
Only you. Only you. And boils down to tyranny and oppression when you're watching everything on TV and you're saying, this is wrong, this is bad, we should do something about it, blah, blah, blah. So he takes a stand and lets everybody know that this is the United States stance on all of these factors. His cabinet has an issue with it because of political votes, which any politician who's trying to keep their job is thinking of political votes. So you have Gary Oldman, the wonderful Gary Oldman.
Wonderful. Amazing.
Yeah. He has done...
Although, probably he sucked in Bram Stoker's Dracula, apparently. I'm sorry. I bring that up because you did say that. You said his acting was bad.
It was.
I mean, it was. I've seen way better from him.
He chewed the fucking fuck out that scenery.
All right. Remember when you first saw that, though, right? What did you remember? What did you think?
The acting?
When you very first saw it, though.
It was a very visually amazing film, but the acting never fucking sold me on the film.
Okay.
Even Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
See, I disagree. Sorry, we're going back
but
to that.
But then I over well, the
Keanu
years.
Keanu wasn't it, exactly great.
So. Over the years, it painted it as a better film. My memory painted it as a better film.
Yeah.
So you, over the years, years passed.
It does. It really does.
So you see his acting in this being a whole lot better than Bram Stoker's Dracula.
He's an amazing character actor.
Yeah. So why didn't you think he made a good Dracula?
Because he fucking didn't act good. All right.
I thought he did great. Sorry.
However, I will say it kind of bothered me because during in this movie, he's talking and he's going back from like a Russian.
Don't get into the accent.
Yeah, you can't really go into the accent.
To a French?
Don't. Yeah, you really can't.
I didn't see accent. No French. What are you talking about? No,
you had a hint, though. There's a little hint.
Accents are hard.
Yeah.
All right, to paraphrase, you know, the wonderful Ron.
Not really.
Oh, God. Come on.
Take that as a compliment. Yeah.
Comparing you to
Gary
Oldman?
They are.
Come on, dude.
Okay, well, I mean, people complain about Johnny Depp in From Hell and his British accent was horrible, but then everybody loved him in fucking Pirates of the Caribbean with his accent.
Because he got better.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's not really. He's drunk. He's a fucking drunken pirate.
Yes. Well, you got a point.
You can't complain about a drunken pirate.
A man right? Can have, hey, I'm just saying.
If
that's
a
dream
job. If I could
be a drunken
pirate, I would.
He was
I claim those movies, by the way.
He was playing Keith Richards. All right, that's what.
No,
he was doing.
That is true. Before no, I he did take a lot of his.
Movie.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, awesome. No, he
He's
based
like,
his character.
I'm going to be Keith Richards.
He based his character
Keith
off of
you
Keith
are
Richards.
Now my dad.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Like, yes. Yeah, makes sense. That's why you are you.
No, but you are right about that. Gary Oldman's acting as this is the terrorist actually was really top notch.
Yeah, it was.
Believable. It was scary too. Believable
it
and scary.
I will say, rewatching this film, getting ready for this, it fucked with my head. How much Borat has influenced my mind. Because when an opening scene, you know,
Kazakhstan. You think, oh, great
Thank
success.
You.
Yes, very good.
I just can't picture this shithole fucking from Borat. I'm like, God damn you fucking Borat, motherfucker. Fuck. I forget that, yes, it's a real country that actually is developed and everything like that. And yes, they have their own political strife and problems. And, like, and they're not some little fucking weird backwoods fucking, you know, third world country.
Yeah.
That's not them. Yeah. And their people don't sound like fucking inbred motherfuckers. All right. Fuck you, Borat. And then maybe also recommend that I remember the political push and the anger that Kazakhstan? Yes,
what?
That's it.
Kazakhstan?
Yeah, that too. That third one, three.
I get voted for saying words and I have to take a shot. Nobody's going to vote for him.
It's a weird country name. It's a weird fucking country name.
I said Warren Beatty.
There's more than just me and Ragnar
said
Warren Beatty.
I said it twice wrong.
You said it three times.
Okay, and you said it three times.
You can't even count. Okay.
Hold on.
Damn.
Say Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
Okay, you've heard it said numerous times, so it would be easy.
Well, I would figure he would too.
Yeah, he didn't
but
say
he's
it,
the
right.
one saying it, though.
Yeah. So, if you remember when Borat came out, Kazakhstan got super, super pissed at the way Borat was fucking making their entire country fucking seem. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Obviously, it's they should just take it out of the farce.
Yeah.
But then when I'm rewatching this, like Air Force One, I'm like, holy shit, that is what I picture Kazakhstan now. They were right. They were fucking right to be mad. Because it absolutely has influenced me all these years later. That's what I picture those backwoods motherfuckers.
Nice.
God damn.
Wow.
And I even had to go and double check. I was like, Kazakhstan.
this looks like a developed city.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Borat? Yeah, it was Borat. Motherfucker. Fuck. They were right. Those fucking commie bastards. Yeah.
So you've got Gary Oldman's character, and he is a leader of this little group. And they basically, what they want is for General Ivan Radek to be released from the Russian prison. Now, you guys remember what that prison looked like?
Yeah.
Right? On the inside, when Radek is walking out.
Yeah.
That was filmed at the Ohio State Reformatory.
What?
Really?
Holy shit!
I don't know if it still is, but was an actual fucking prison.
No shit.
The way everything is in there right now, in that movie, was the way that it moved.
Abandoned prison, or was it still in working prison?
It was still working.
That is fucking crazy that it looked like that. Yeah. Ohio?
Oh,
good for Ohio.
Yeah. Wow.
Good for Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never thought I would say that in my life. Good for Ohio.
I mean, fuck Ohio State.
So if it was in Detroit, would you say good for Detroit? Yes.
Because that's the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Good for fucking Detroit.
Honestly, that's a step up for what
I would say. I would say that Hollywood should really be thankful for Detroit, because there is no better way to film an active war zone
than Detroit.
Or Chicago.
I mean,
it saves a lot of money.
Kabul seems better than fucking Detroit sometimes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. At least I know where it's coming from.
I wouldn't have never realized.
You guys know that when they go to shoot filming in Detroit, they actually have to bring ballistic barriers and ballistic walls with them.
Yes.
Yeah, they have to enclose the fucking film scene.
Not many movies are filmed in Detroit right now.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Because ballistic panels are fucking expensive.
Yeah.
No shit. That's fucking pricey.
Why would anybody want to go to Detroit? I mean,
it was filmed.
You leave Detroit, you win a Super Bowl.
It's a good place to lose a wallet.
Or your life.
Yeah, I've had to park in there.
We're going to have to cut that out. Sorry.
They got OCP. All right. So, you know.
Oh, shit.
We got RoboCop, motherfucker. That's why it was so believable to me.
Yeah.
The fact that it's in Detroit. Is. Like, oh, yeah, this is a Tuesday afternoon.
Fucking Tuesday afternoon, really?
So on RoboCop, I think it was RoboCop 2. There's a scene where a guy comes walking out of like a little storefront with an M60. Those were live rounds. I swear to God, they were fucking live rounds. They were
entire there, Ron?
I yawned, yeah. Sorry.
Really?
Yes.
Sorry.
What the fuck?
Uh-huh.
Well, that was somebody's fuck up.
No. No, that was a coordinated decision on production half.
Because blanks are more expensive.
I guess because it would have cost so much to refit an M60. I'm not sure. But basically, the safety concerns or safety like practices were not yet in place to make it like a legal issue.
Yeah.
So they just used fucking live rounds for that whole scene.
And I mean, it's like you're going to harm.
So it's not. Yeah. So,
you're not going to fucking hurt Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to make it any fucking less valuable.
Wow.
Yeah.
The reason we are doing this whole Detroit bit is Ron's family is from that area, and we love to shit on him for that.
Oh, yeah. My whole family's in Michigan and Detroit and Algonac and all over the place.
So who else do you think for Harrison Ford's character, right, as president, who else do you think would be well?
Keanu Reeves. Get off my plane, dude.
That's a hard question because there's, I mean, Jack Nicholson.
He does make a great president.
Exactly.
No, he would try to negotiate with
him. What about Warren Beatty?
Warren Beatty. Shut up.
Denzel Washington.
No, that could have worked.
It would work.
Schwarzenegger.
I hate to say it, but back when Air Force One was released, what, the 91?
97.
97.
It feels like older than that.
No, it's 97.
It does feel early.
Jesus
90s.
Christ. It feels so much older than that.
I saw this in the theater.
Holy shit. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say 91, they probably still weren't 100% on board with the idea of a black president. But 97, yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
It's only 6 years, but it was a lot more, would have been a lot. Yeah, Denzel would have been great.
Denzel would have been great, but I'm trying to think of another actor, and I probably would think like maybe like Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Costner is who they wanted for it.
That would have worked, actually. But he would have been, you know what? I don't, he's got more of a laid back voice. And the way that Harrison Ford's like, get off my plane, and just the way he talks, he's got more of like a better presence. Kevin Costner's more of like laid back. I can't see that happening, really.
Well, they wanted him for his shit.
He does, but I still can't see him doing the president.
I could absolutely see him being a president.
I feel like that would
be weird. not like the way that he was in Air Force One. I could see him playing like a president, maybe like in a president, like 13 hours or something, like, not 13 hours. The one with Kennedy. I'm trying to remember what it was.
JFK?
Yeah, it's. I think it's called 13 Hours, I think.
No.
You know what I'm talking about? The black and white one?
Yeah.
Totally different.
Well, I'm thinking for a president that would actually go against like the terrorists inside the plane and stuff like that, I don't think Kevin Costner would work. I
Pauly Shore.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yes.
I would want to say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I already said Schwarzenegger.
Just to see him try to do an American accent.
Good luck.
Oh, my God. Because
he would have to be an American legally, you know, to be holding that office. So just to see him trying to do an American accent would have been fucking hilarious. But then he would have beat the shit out of those goddamn fucking terrorists.
You know what? Mel Gibson.
You know,
Mel Gibson.
You know what? That'd be pretty fucking good.
I think Mel Gibson would do, because he was really that was the year that 97, I believe, was the same year that Lethal Weapon 4 came out.
Yeah. But Harrison was able to. I keep going and believing him in those serious roles from like Clear and Present Danger and
Patriot Games.
Though he leads a seriousness, a believability to that type of stuff, especially a political, you know, thing. But also, you know, he can kind of fuck you up.
Oh, yeah. Russell Crowe could have done it pretty well.
Not during that time.
No. He was a lot younger and skinny. I don't think that would have worked.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture somebody that would have been middle-aged, older.
Yeah, you know,
had been middle-aged during that and was able to pull off the action role.
I don't know, but I seriously think
he doesn't age though. Fucker doesn't age.
Who? Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford.
Oh, he's aged now.
Yeah, he aged like.
Has he? I haven't seen what he looks like.
Like either. Honestly, I.
But he's a tough actor.
I could definitely see that being his last film ever.
Which one?
Indy 4.
It is. He's retiring.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, that's what all the rumors are.
I think he's retiring. I think he's done.
But I 100% can believe him going like Sean Connery route and, you know, just walking away from it.
Well, see, that's another one I was also thinking about, Sean Connery.
I couldn't see, because he'd have to nail the American accent in order to be believable as president. You have to nail it.
Yeah.
I mean, have we ever had a president with an accent?
No, because you have to be an American born in order to be president. That is in the Constitution.
But for a governor and like that, it doesn't have to be.
No, you have a certain amount of years.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger was a governor.
Yes.
You have to be an American citizen.
Jesse Ventura.
He could be naturalized.
No, he couldn't have done it.
Well, I know. I'm just making a...
Yeah, no. But president, you have to be American born. That became constitutional after... shortly, not too long after Washington.
I think Bruce Willis could have done a good job, actually.
Yeah?
Except for... He adds a certain bit of comedy to everything that he does. Yeah. Serious, a little bit of Jackass.
I would have enjoyed that, though.
Well, that's the thing about this movie. There really wasn't any comedy in it other than...
And exactly. That's why I think Harrison Ford did an amazing job. And all these other ones that we've listed...
Val Kilmer? Have
pulled it out off the same... I'm trying to picture... What did Val Kilmer...
George Clooney.
No.
No.
Then, okay.
No.
He doesn't have the intensity.
Not that's
to be able, you know, to be like a believable this. Leader, and a badass.
He has intensity.
Well, see, well, that's the thing. Harrison Ford
type of
exactly.
It's a different type.
Harrison Ford is very believable to be a good leader, though. That's exactly. The thing. And the way, especially when he does that speech at the Russian summit, it sounded very presidential, and that's why they actually make a big joke about, you know, I want Harrison Ford to be my president. The way that he was in that movie, he looked like a president.
I'd vote for him.
Yeah. He looked like a president. Yeah. He was the role of a president.
Yeah, so. He is presidential.
Yeah. Yep.
They had
I want to buy weed from him.
Does he still weed?
He used to.
Harrison Ford?
Yes.
In the 70s?
Yes.
Oh, God, I hope
I know he was a carpenter. I didn't know he sold weed.
A handyman and a carpenter, he would sell weed. I forget which actress it was.
I had no idea.
But first time she saw Star Wars, she had no idea Harrison Ford was in it.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes on as Han. It's like, that's my fucking dealer.
That's fucking amazing.
Yes. I had no idea. So smoking a doobie while he's at, yeah, taking breaks and lunch, yeah, breaks.
That's fucking great. Yeah.
Did he ever smoke? I don't know. I've never seen him.
I would assume he did.
I don't know if he did or not.
Did he live in California?
Number one rule.
Yeah.
You never get high in your own supply.
But I'm not going to lie.
There's also a man who's crashed a plane like a bunch of times.
But the thing is, I'm not going to lie.
For that,
as a point, yep.
Harrison Ford, I don't think anybody could replace this. I think Harrison Ford was the perfect casting choice for this movie. Yeah.
He was.
I can't see anybody else play. I mean, like I said, I think I have a little bit of thing for Mel Gibson. I think Mel Gibson would have worked.
You have a thing for Mel Gibson?
No, his acting. I really think his acting is really good. Okay.
So, as you know, they have Air Force One and Air Force Two. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that. I've never even heard of it.
So, Air Force Two is for the VP.
And by the way, Air Force One isn't a plane.
No.
Air Force One is the call sign.
It's a call sign.
I know. They even say that at the end of the movie, yeah, because once they got Harrison Ford on the other ship, they said
call sign is
Air Force One. Yes.
They have.
Just like Marine One is whatever helicopter the president is currently on.
Yeah.
They have a mock-up in a
spicy motor.
What the fuck?
Sorry, I was trying to fix something.
You failed.
Yeah, apparently.
Go ahead.
Fuck that.
Was that a premature spicy boner?
Yeah. For like no fucking reason, man.
Yeah.
That's not what it meant.
Like, so you're calling a punishment without a punishment?
No, I'm not. Get back to the movie.
Fuck you. You just did.
Yeah. It was an accident. I was trying to fix something.
You called a punishment without a punishment worthy offense.
Yeah.
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 So I believe thereby you are punished.
See what happens when you press buttons?
Be better, Ron. Bad puppy.
What the fuck?
Bad puppy. What'd you get? What'd you get?
Drunk?
Big fuck you by Stu.
Can you guess what I'm about to say?
Please don't.
Go ahead, just say it. Just say it.
Watermelon fuckwad.
Watermelon fuckwad.
No. I am much, much more couth than that. Crystal's grace.
You're much more what?
Crystal's
couth.
Couth.
Couth?
Yeah.
Couth?
What
is Crystal's grace?
Couth.
What you're calling
watermelon. Measurement of politeness or etiquette.
Yes.
Oh. When you call somebody gentlemanlike.
Yes. When you call somebody uncouth, you're saying they are
50 cent words.
Okay, we'll go with that too.
So is that what I'm having?
Yes, Crystal's
uncouth
grace
is basically disheveled and not in proper presentation for the yeah.
Okay, uncouth is a shit bag. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Pause it.
Couth, you got your shit buttoned up. There you go.
Cheers.
Enjoy. Yeah, so you're kind of becoming immune to it.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, it's nasty. He's fine. He's fine.
It's nasty.
Uh-oh. Children.
That is a person. That is a person. That is not an animal. No, that is a person interrupting the goddamn recording. Let's spin that wheel.
You might get something nice. You don't know.
Jar of punishment.
There you go. You might get something nice.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you'll get some watermelon vodka.
Fucking go ahead and keep talking.
So like I was saying.
How are you enjoying your show so far, Ragnar, that you just got thrown upon you?
It's wonderful. It's fucking wonderful.
You got thrust in you, fucking bareback. Fucking no lube or anything.
Yeah, that was the bad part.
Bite the pillow, we're going in dry.
No shit.
Blood will lubricate it. It's fine.
Damn. It sounds like government. Fuck.
Yep.
It really is. Hey, imagine that.
It's full circle.
So It is full circle. Fucking so, circle you know, so you have Air Force Two, right? And they have there is a mock-up, and it's in I believe Maryland. What'd you get, dude?
Fucking rum shot. It's dairy.
Why did you sound like Mario?
Oh God, man! Man, fucking! How many shots have I had tonight? Already?
I don't know. Too many for you?
Not enough.
Yeah. Well, you know.
He says too many. I say not enough. So we'll meet in the middle and say just the right amount.
Just the right amount. There we go. There we go.
Exactly what you deserve.
You might like it.
I've never had it.
You might like it.
But I've never had rum chata either.
Same.
It's Caribbean rum with real dairy cream and natural artificial flavors.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
That's really good, actually.
Okay, we'll wait in about 10 minutes, though, see how your reaction is.
All right, go ahead.
So, like I said, they have a mock-up of Air Force 2. It's either Air Force 1 or Air Force 2. And I believe it's in Maryland. And you can pay to actually visit and take a tour of it, which is kind of cool. But the director and cast and everyone, they didn't know, they couldn't get access and information on Air Force 1 because, obviously.
There's a lot of classified shit.
It's in Andrews Air Force Base in Prince George, Maryland.
Yeah. So what they did was they watched a bunch of CNN videos of reporters in Air Force One.
Oh, that's nifty.
To get a lot of information about it. But since Harrison Ford and Bill Clinton are friends, Bill Clinton got them onto Air Force One.
Really?
Yeah, to actually tour it. So it was Harrison Ford, the director.
Wolfgang Peterson.
And
Gary Oldman?
A couple other.
I assume Gary Oldman.
No, not Gary Oldman. I don't believe. No,
it's probably going to be set designer and screenwriters and Harrison Ford and the director.
It was writers. You know, and
people
try to get
an idea of how to make the film.
The film?
Film. Feel real.
Oh, you got that southern twang. Film.
Suddenly, he's from Tennessee.
Right?
Because I'm the only 10 you see, baby.
That's a good pickup line right there.
Yeah.
So that's how they got a lot of the information for Air Force One. Now the falsities of Air Force One. There is no escape pod on Air Force
Which
One.
To be fair, would be pretty.
That we know.
It would be cool. So they got the idea from Escape from New York.
Yeah.
So there's no little that we know that we know of.
Now, obviously, that's not something that can be disclosed.
Yeah, I kind of figured that because if they disclose that, then terrorists will use the movie basically for to research and research and everything else. Yeah. That wouldn't work.
So that we know of, there is no escape pod on Air Force One.
Yeah, we just got to take over the plane, and then it'll poop out the president. And we'll scoop him up.
Right.
That underhanger plane was huge. If you follow throughout the set.
That's an A380, my guy. Yeah.
You follow the set into like that. Imagine how the footprint of each room they were showing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a giant fucking goddamn plane. All right. This is not a fucking 737, 747.
No, 747. Right,
this is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
Right here. This is a mammoth.
It's a spruce goose.
Yeah.
No, but spruce is, yeah.
That's a big spruce plane.
Something. It was. It so was.
They had.
And it was made of wood,
but it flew.
Yes.
For a minute.
Yeah.
At least.
Howard Hughes, everybody. Man who kept his pissing jars.
Hey, he made those planes.
Speaking of Howard Hughes, we were just.
No. No, we are not talking about Howard Hughes.
You're the one that keeps going off subject.
What?
Seriously, we're trying to talk about Air Force One, not about Spruce.
You brought Spruce Goose up.
I just did it because of the whole Spruce because Goose you said up. Big plane, so I brought up Spruce Goose.
So you're the one who opened the door to fucking Howard Hughes.
But he's the one that said, well, about Howard Hughes.
Yeah, because you opened the door.
All right, I give up. God, you surrender.
So I know recently we were talking about Mars attacks and the big tower that was blown up.
Yeah.
He owns that tower.
Makes sense.
Yep. Okay, continue. That's all.
Huh.
That was
really?
Yep.
No shit.
I didn't know that.
Learn something every day.
The more you know.
Oh, man. And knowing is half the battle. Go,
G.I. Joe.
Another half is kill, kill, kill. Wouldn't it be funny if the Cobra attacked Air Force One?
Red and blue lasers.
The Cobra attacking Air Force One?
That may have been the CGI watch that. A little bit better for it.
I'd watch that. You
see fucking Cobra Commander? Like, literally the cartoon Cobra Commander.
With the shitty dubs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh, huh.
Fucking Destro. Fucking hell. <Yeah. laughs> God, that was a great fucking cartoon. That was so American. I loved it.
So a lot of the actors, right, they love to be in character while they're working, like, 24-7.
Yeah.
You know? It helps them, you know, helps them work on set or whatever. Gary Oldman is like the complete opposite of that. Like, when he's done shooting, he's done being his character. And it threw everyone on set. It threw him off because, like, Harrison Ford is still, like, acting as president. His daughter and wife are still acting, you know, the first lady, the first kid.
I guess. I think that's what they're called.
First family.
First, yeah.
So they're like, they would still be acting that way and they would still be in character and shit. Gary Oldman, and he's always done this too, which is always cool, is that when he's done acting for the day or for the scene or whatever, he stops. He's done acting as his character is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know? So that always throws everyone off. During the fight in the main level of Air Force One, Gary Oldman actually friggin' hit Harrison Ford during their fight and shit. Like, it was,
But I think Harrison Ford told him to, because Harrison Ford wants a realistic. So Harrison Ford does his own stunts.
Yeah,
he doesn't like, and which I love about him. He's a very dedicated actor, and he would probably tell him to go ahead and do that. So,
yeah, I think they had it set up that way to where he actually had him hit him.
Well, when you now, see his face plant to the floor, I mean, it looks really realistic. I mean, yeah. You see that thing face plant, his face like hit the floor hard.
Oh, he hit.
But yeah. Also, I'd be hesitant to fucking hit Harrison Ford. Because he also seems like, yeah, hit me. All right, now I want you to sell the scene. And the second you do, he gets fucking mad and fucking starts fucking swinging on you.
I'm like, motherfucker. Use it for the next scene, man. Use it.
God damn it. I didn't fucking expect me coming in here and have to fucking brawl for fucking goddamn Harrison Ford.
Come on, you're brawling with Indiana Jones here. I mean, he's the master of punches here.
Hey, he doesn't have a whip. We're good.
I'm pretty sure I can take Harrison Ford. I'm not going to lie.
Well, right now.
Yes, right now.
But back then, probably not.
I'm pretty sure I can fucking break that motherfucker's hip.
All right. He's already broken his hip like multiple times.
I was going to say.
Broken his leg.
And 18 plane crashes. Yes. Yes, he has.
He's been in 18 plane crashes?
No, that's an exaggeration. But he has crashed his own plane a lot.
I do know. The fact that he's still alive is unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, it's just like he did in Indiana Jones when he's telling Sean Connery. He's like, do you know how to fly? No. But I know how to crash.
Yes.
Are we gonna fly? No.
No, it's fly. Yes. Land. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Last Crusade.
Reverse that. No. Fly. No. Crash. Yes.
No, that's not what he said. He said fly. Yes. Land. No.
I thought it was.
Yeah. That's a line. Yeah, nah. Trust me. I've seen that movie a million times. That's why
they, you know, the crash. Yeah. Because he doesn't know how to land.
Yeah.
Flying is the easy part.
That's right. That's right.
Flying is absolutely the easiest part of the entire thing.
Oh, of course.
Taking off and landing, not so much.
Yeah.
That's why you play a lot of, you know, PlayStation.
Oh, man. I know that's way off.
You had to do it.
Yeah, I know that's way off subject.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I know it's way off subject because that's one of my favorite parts of The Last Crusade is when Sean Connery's in the back and he shoots his own tail. It says, son, they got us. Yeah. But he shot his own tail. For a future episode. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't able to be done, though. In the aircraft,
I'm sure there was like a little thing that holds it from hitting the tail.
There was like a dead spot where
you can't move it around.
Just like the ones that would be firing through the propellers, you know, they were on timers, you know, to actually fire through, you know, in the empty spots between the blades that were going. It was all timer based, and I'm pretty sure the tail gunner had like a dead zone where they could not act.
No, I agree. So. It's just movie making, you know.
Not everything's real.
So they got brought on.
They're not all real?
But they're not?
That's not what I
meant. I thought Mars Attacks was a documentary.
Yes.
It's
goddamn midget Martians.
It's coming. We didn't have midget Martians again.
Yeah, if we didn't have Slim Pickens.
We need that song. Yep, there we go.
So they got brought on by Xander Berkeley Gibbs.
I don't trust people whose name is Xander. I don't know what it is. I don't know
which
one it is.
Which one Xander play?
He was the secret agent.
Yeah, I've seen him in a lot of movies. Actually, what other movies have you seen? I've seen him in Apollo 13. There was some other movies that he's been in.
He almost got away with it.
He did.
He almost got away with it
up until the end when he got too fucking greedy.
He didn't get too greedy. He was. It was his. They had one shoot left, or one fucking escape left. All right, he's like, all right, fuck it. It's gonna be me.
Yeah, but no. The whole reason why he was not, he had to stay back, is because the president is supposed to be protected, and technically that is their job. So,
but if he got out and he was the last one to get out, guess what? It's his word against a fucking burnt up corpse.
I was gonna say, no one.
Yeah,
no. The president demanded it. You know, he ordered me, or whatever. Or the president fucking tripped and fell on a fucking goddamn knife in his throat. Whatever. And then whatever story he wanted to do,
and then gets a Medal of Honor or something like that.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
But problem is that you don't ever see the reason why.
Yeah, was he paid to flip? You know, what's going on?
I think there's a bunch of cut scenes
that never made it to the movie.
Really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of fucking scenes that never made it in the movie that show why
he was the inside man, basically.
Okay, so what was his motivation?
Huh?
What was his motivation?
Yeah, what did the deleted scenes?
You never find that out.
But you said there was a bunch of cut scenes. So you don't know what
the cut scenes are? No, I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are.
That would have been more... because
I don't think we needed to know.
No, he might be maybe a distant relative of Gary, of his character or something like that.
Does it matter, though? In all honesty, was the story about him?
No.
Or exactly. So it did nothing.
But he's the one that started the whole...
All you needed to know was... He was a piece of shit inside man.
Yep.
You don't need to know his fucking motivations. It has nothing to propel the overall story at all. You just know he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's a fucking traitor.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, you may be curious. And so now paint the picture or whatever you want.
The thing is, if you make theories, he could have been a traitor the whole time. He could have actually been with the Russian government or maybe he's a sleeper agent.
Yeah. You can make whatever theory you want. All right. But it doesn't need to be on the screen.
No.
All right. It doesn't matter. He could have just been simply for the money.
But he did his job.
Right. It doesn't matter. All right. He was the asshole inside man who the entire time you weren't sure what else he was going to do.
Yep.
That's the only thing you need to know about.
Yeah, he was a wild card.
Yeah, that's why they didn't put it in the film, because it did nothing to propel the overall story. It just would have slowed down the pacing.
What do you think, Ragnar?
I think a little bit of snippet would have been cool. To see why
his backstory and how he was,
just a little bit, you know.
So what would your mind be an acceptable fucking story?
It paid off.
So all right. So during that time frame, I think it would be typical where he hates the regime and their policy, and he doesn't view what they're doing and what is going on. As like his own personal beliefs, and he feels that.
And by regime, you mean the Russian regime, or you mean the American regime?
The American regime.
Okay, so this is a man who's dedicated his life to the American way by becoming a Secret Service agent, rising the ranks to become the number one Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
All right, and does not support the ideas of stopping terroristic governments.
I seriously think he was just paid off.
I think later on in life. And then he possibly received a fucking hefty payoff.
That's what I think it was. I think it's all about money.
Yeah.
I think really that's all it was. I don't think it had anything to do with politics. I think it was just money that made him do what he did.
In your mind, that would have been good motivation. Yes. Straight money.
People are greedy.
Chase, what is your backstory that you instilled upon this character, this blank slate?
Originally, I thought maybe they had a family member.
Okay. Three different fucking backgrounds.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, we saw his true colors. That tells me that he had simply lost faith in the current regime.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so three different people.
Yeah.
Different opinions. and they all work. So once again, you didn't need to actually see it because it did nothing to propel the actual story. It told you what you need to know.
What it is just
they didn't give you Reddick's entire fucking background. You know, no. Why he was so against it. No, he was just some fucking rogue general who has taken over a fucking country that was against fucking that was against the current Russian president. You didn't know need to know everything else, did you?
No,
he was the fucking the goose that was being chased. That's like, you didn't need to fucking know the background. It did nothing to propel the story of Air Force One being taken with the president on board and taking back his fucking plane.
I understand what you're saying, but I kind of agree with Ragnar. I wouldn't have minded seeing the little backstory.
This is a simple action movie. That's what this is. It's a simple action movie. You don't need all this major fucking background.
I mean, the whole movie is very straightforward, cut and dry.
It's Die Hard on a plane.
You know, wouldn't that be
Die Hard 2?
Yeah, it would be.
I mean,
technically, with the planes. I mean,
wouldn't that be Die Hard 2?
It's not being out in an airport, but yeah.
That's the point. All right.
Well, where's the taser lady?
Yeah.
I understand, it
was superfluous. It was not needed information. It would have just slowed the pacing of the film down. Just to answer some questions that, and let's say it went with what your two gentlemen's ideas, you know, the guy upset with, you know, the regime, it would have taken away from Ron's idea of understanding, you know, strictly financial reasoning.
Yeah.
All right. So. It would have taken away from part of your audience of explaining that versus, you know, if they went with money, it would have taken away your guys's. So it's fucking whatever reasonings you want to imply upon him.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's it. That's it. There you go. All right. It doesn't fucking matter anymore.
No, you're right. I mean, it's a good way of looking at it, though. You guys might like this one.
That was actually a good little debate right there, actually. You think about it because you think about that.
Every now and then I happen to stumble face first.
You have some good ideas there.
Every now and again.
So,
hey, he's messing with a screw.
What does it do?
Do you know what that does?
Shut up.
Nah.
I'm not saying shit.
So, James Marshall, so this would be 2016 is when this came out. He was voted as the best fictional president ever.
I can see that.
All right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
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 You show me a video of a president beating some terrorist ass, I'm going to vote for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, he's a...
America.
He's a Vietnam pilot. Yeah. And so he knows, you know, he knows how to fly a plane. Obviously not something this big. But he also knows how to take care of himself.
Yeah.
You know, the our wonderful President Donald Trump has said is
this amazing president
is one of his favorite films.
You want to know something about that?
Actually, that's what he thought being president was going to be like.
I know.
No, but you want to know something? The great thing about
I can
that
do whatever the fuck I want. Fuck them. Right. All right.
I love Trump for that because he actually
my little hands.
Trump used the score from Air Force One at his right when he won the election at the what's the thing that they do right after the election
inauguration.
Not the inauguration, the day of
the acceptance
speech or something like that.
The celebration, the
little party they do right after the election. Air Force One theme was playing in the background when that's he was walking cool on stage.
Wasn't really.
Hey, hold on. Oh yeah, hold on. Wasn't Sammy also a part of the Sleepy Hollow thing?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Hey, guess who's right here right now?
We don't have any purple monster.
Motherfucker. Hey, since we don't have any punishment shot here, does that mean it's a double next time?
No. Oh, for me?
Yeah. We voted it. It's got to be a double.
That's what I fucking thought.
You have to take a double.
Fuck you, Stu.
So you get a double purple monster and you have to do two spins.
No. Chase got lucky because he got, what was it? What was your first one? Your first one was pick something your own.
I don't even remember.
No, it was a fuck you, stew.
Yeah, it was a fuck you, stew.
And then the second one was
something yummy.
Pick something. No, you had a punishment shot.
No, you did.
Don't I spin to see what the punishment is?
Oh yeah, it was a.
Well, your only punishment shot is monster. You don't drink.
No, I have non, whatever versions of that.
But if she lands on Punisher shot or anything like that, then she'll have
to. I'm kind of afraid for her to. I mean, I guess we could.
I mean, she's here. We already hit Chase. We already hit Crystal.
So what is she going to have for a punishment shot?
Then that might have to be
waited
till next time because of her not having the shot in
stock.
Or we'll spin the wheel twice and we'll see what it lands on. And we'll make decisions based on that. Fair?
Fair. Are you sweating there, Ron? That was
another
That was a
slip.
All right.
Fuck you, Stu.
Fuck you, Ron.
Wait, why is it going back?
Because this is a new month. This is a new month. It hasn't been changed over. That is a new month.
I said it with such gusto, too.
Yes, you did. I love it. I love it.
Ron, are you?
Oh, wow.
You're October?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is.
Why did you do that?
Are you like 8 shots in now?
He has no choice.
Oh, yes. So that is a half Malort, half watermelon, which we have dubbed Crystal's Grace.
God. Oh, wow.
Hold on. I'm making this one first.
Oh, hey, before I forget.
Yes.
The prison that Raddick was held in.
Are you going to say this was in Ohio? Because you already
did that. Yes, it was in Hawaii. But it's also the same prison that was in Shawshank Redemption.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's kind of nifty.
I would not have fucking put that together at all.
Yeah. One day, I need to see that movie.
All right, spin the wheel.
Wait. What?
No, we've already covered this. He has not seen it.
You haven't seen Shawshank Redemption? You fucking neophyte.
All right, spin the wheel.
Dude, Crystal is going to shank your ass.
Spin the wheel.
Oh, that's a massive.
I didn't want to interrupt.
That was a beautiful spin.
He was misspeak. Peanut gallery, pick shot.
You get to pick a shot.
I want to say, by the way, no.
Is there any sparkling apples?
Good job.
Yeah. There's one less bottle. I can say that.
I loathe watermelon, so I will probably loathe that shit.
It's got tequila in it.
Tequila.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
We looked at it. It does.
It's got tequila in it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
No.
So we're going to have to just save you for Monster.
That means it's a double. All right. If we're saving for the Monster, then it's a double.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be like Lenny and be like a big Vijay and be like, apple cider vinegar, but that doesn't affect me.
Yeah. So. No, I appreciate the honesty.
You have no, like, form of watermelon mixers or anything? Okay. I'll double down next time.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough.
So, hold on. Before you need to simmer on this one. So, remember when I was asking about, like, what you guys thought about Harrison Ford?
Right? Yes.
And who else do you think would be a good...
George Carlin.
George... asshole! a good actor for the role.
Well fucking done.
That would be cool, actually.
So,
George Carlin.
Schwarzenegger. Was thought for the role. Gene Hackman was thought for the role. Keanu Reeves.
Was he?
I said that as straight bullshit.
He was he was the backup fucking choice.
You know
what
movie?
He was
Johnny Mnemonic in around 1997.
Yeah. He would have been so weird as a president.
Yeah.
Be like,
how would that work?
Get off my plane,
how would that fucking
dude.
Work? Everyone else.
That's the only person
out.
They changed. The wife is still the same age. The kid is still the same age. And you had Keanu. That's the problem.
But could you see him saying, get off my plane, dude?
That's what I made that exact joke earlier.
Yep.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
You commented on it. Now you're trying to fucking claim it as your own joke. Drink your shot.
Yeah, now you can.
You're manning up. I appreciate that. Oh!
Damn it, so close. So fucking close. Hey, so the score, the rejected score for this, got actually used in Toy Story 3.
Really?
Hold on. My joke earlier in the fucking show, in the beginning, you got a brother named me. Was that goddamn close?
Yes.
Motherfucker.
Actually.
Son of a bitch. Yes.
That's a good segue. That's a good segue to hear.
Bitch, how the
Right?
That's a good segue to hear okay, the that's
all of the fucking music he makes.
All right, well, here. This is actually the original score for Air Force One.
Sounds like the Orville.
And then here is...
Yes.
Great job.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
Good pull.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie or like a superhero theory. Yeah. And this is the Jerry Goldsmith.
This is what it should be. This is absolutely. Right here.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is like the fucking best theme ever.
Yes. This is fucking presidential.
What did you think of the original? The Randy Newman one.
What he said,
Orville.
What she said as being fucking straight from the Orville, that is 100% on point.
You've seen the Orville,
sci-fi
right?
Comedy.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is a sci-fi.
Yeah,
comedy.
Yeah, it's like a Star Trek type of.
Right. I'm gonna die on this hill. I think it's better than Star Trek.
I'm about to punch you in the fucking throat. Oh my god.
Ooh.
Orville's great. I love the Orville. Don't get me wrong. I am not taking anything away from the Orville, but. Fuck you. I hope you stub your pinky toe.
If you take...
All right. Oh, fuck you.
Ooh.
All right. If you take away...
Uh-huh. I know, that's fucking painful.
That's like
if you take away the nostalgia factor.
I hope you get a piece of sand in your urethra.
I'm not going to lie. Just seeing you just get pissed off right when he said that, just said, I'm going to punch you in the throat, that was great. I fucking loved it. Because I know how much, Star Trek, man. And Star Trek is fucking.
And because of my love of Star Trek, it's probably why I love the Orville as much as I do.
Yeah, well, also, Lower Decks. Right. Think of Lower Decks.
I've only gotten to see like three episodes. Yeah.
The newest episode, that was such a great fucking thing. It was like a weird bottle episode without any of the fucking crew. It was fucking weird.
No, the thing, it's a genius show. I think it's like the Family Guy of Star Trek. Yes. Basically,
yes. It feels like this is what our lives would be in the fucking Star Trek universe.
Yeah.
All right. I'm already getting used to that drink.
We're gonna have to fucking change it up now. Good job.
Now we need to add a little bit of dairy back to it and make it perfect.
Yeah, there you go, Crystal. Just ramp it up.
Little Bailey's.
Real milk. Now this fucking weird whole plant based shit.
Some heavy whipping cream.
If you do
cream.
That, then everybody has to do it.
Okay. And?
Yeah.
Some heavy whipping cream.
The bad part is we'd have to buy such small containers because of sitting in this household. It's the only time it's getting drunk is during this show.
Exactly.
And only really on his shots.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, but it seems like I take a punishment shot almost every fucking Friday now.
Okay, so even if you get three punishment shots of it every fucking Friday, you're taking like not even a full shot glass out of a
How many have I taken today already?
I think we're up to eight.
I think it's more than that.
Eight
You also have to think about the shots that we had.
I think you've had five of Crystal's Grace, and then you've had three of.
I had two shots of Jameson.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Two shots of Jameson. We had the alien shooter, and I don't know. Something else. Yeah.
Feeling but they're good? All like half shots, though, so they're not really a shot.
I'm feeling relaxed.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel relaxed.
So
that works.
I mean, so, really, what? Four?
Four what?
Four shots? They're like half shots, dude.
No,
it's not like a full shot.
No.
Maybe a quarter shot. Maybe that's like a quarter shot. So maybe you really only took down like
episode and also the run shot.
Yeah, wait till the falling down episode and see how many shots of that you make it through.
Oh, the Everclear? Oh, yeah. That's not going to be a punishment shot. We'll see. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So they had...
the whole point is called falling down.
Somebody's got to fall down.
Maybe my falling down with drink will be just 8 ounces, an 8 ounce cup of Everclear.
Oh, God.
That's our fucking show drink.
Fuck.
It's called the falling down.
Hey, who wants to die tonight?
Right? So what happens with a lot of movies that involve
splash of rum chata,
the White House and the military and such, they have to go through the vetting process for it. And the Air Force required them to send over a screenplay of the movie.
Which is common practice. Anything really military helped,
absolutely.
They want to make sure you
ain't. But I think the military also backed up this movie a lot.
Yeah, anything that you're not basically talking down about the military.
No, this actually made the military look good. I mean, it actually made the military very more...
Very more?
Sorry, very
He's feeling pretty good, all right?
Hey, my words are all over.
I'm not judging.
Basically, it made him heroic. I mean, especially when you see the fucking plane, like, you know, the missiles coming towards Air Force One, and the guy just, you know, gives up his life and just puts it right into the missile's way so it doesn't hit Air Force One.
F-15 in there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this movie made the military look good, that they were protecting their president.
That is the job of the American soldier, airman, seaman, marine.
Yeah.
That is the fucking job.
They rented, I guess you could call it rent, the several Air Force fighter jets and pilots.
They did.
For
they
this did. Movie. Now, I don't, the pilots never, like, you probably never received anything.
No, they don't. They wouldn't have.
No, they don't.
I'm not saying for sure they didn't, but they wouldn't have. I mean, you're paying.
Technically, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they're doing, paid like they're paying Uncle Sam for the cost of the operation.
Yeah, they're doing. They get paid like Deadpool's taxi driver, a crisp high five.
Pretty fucking much. Yeah. It's basically a good old
No, they're getting paid their fucking normal monthly pay. That's what they're getting fucking paid. All right, that's their fucking job.
They're
whatever.
Getting that
Uncle
extra,
Sam tells me to fucking goddamn fly this plane, I'm flying this plane. Yeah.
The undercarriage of the plane, you know how you see not only like when you have the escape pod, but you also have like all the undercarriage storage and such.
The luggage compartment.
Luggage compartment.
It seems like there was a kitchen down there too.
There was. I mean, they obviously have, you know, on a 747, you know, these accommodations already set up.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of it was actual. A lot of it was all falsities. Anyways, they had two fighter jets actually take off as a security measure because Air Force One, the movie plane Air Force One was in flight. And they didn't know. They just had it on their radar as a
unauthorized
plane.
Okay.
And shit.
Unauthorized flight plan.
Yeah. Until, like, and they literally got right up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were calling it in. And then they finally got it relayed back to them that this was, you know, it's a movie plane, you know, don't fucking shoot them down.
Like, yeah.
These, you have all these different fucking people on board.
See, I didn't realize, I didn't know that there was actually a real plane in the sky. I thought that was all CGI.
No, a lot of it is CGI, obviously, especially towards the fucking end.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
With
over the ocean.
Yeah, well, not only with over the ocean, but with the F-18s in the back of the tail. While the F-18s are in flight and Air Force One is in flight, the CGI in it is absolutely fucking horrible.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you see how even by that standard there, you know, it's fucking horrible.
The CGI, the worst CGI in the whole movie though, is basically when Air Force One crashes into the ocean.
Oh, at the very end?
Yeah, because when you see the plane like flip and then move, you could tell that it's like moving at a very slow motion. You could tell that it's very, it just doesn't look real at all. It looks fucking bad.
Oh, absolutely, you can.
Yeah, but I mean, but this was also the late 90s, and CGI was still being messed around with because
I didn't think it was all that bad.
I wouldn't say it's like horrible, but it really wasn't. It still wasn't good. Yeah. It could have been a little bit better. I've seen better CGI in the earlier 90s than that one. Seriously.
Yeah.
But it came out the same year was The Fifth Element, and that had some bad CGI too.
Yeah.
That it did.
I tell you what, I loved watching the PJs slinging down, flailing on the zip line.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
I ain't mad at that either. I'm not mad at that at all.
Oh, hell no. Not
that
at all.
That entire fucking sequence, I'm like, yeah, that's believable.
No, that tracks.
That is 100% believable to me.
Now, that is very, very fucking believable.
I mean, it's something as simple as that. It's like, we'll fucking zoom in there, hook up, one plane higher than the other, fucking gravity do the work, zip down.
Yeah.
Then lower that fucking plane, zip back down.
Well, it's not the first movie to do it either. You did it in Stallone's Cliffhanger.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
They did it in that movie there as well. for that particular scene there, they had the plane fly at about 4,000 feet. And they actually had a fucking dummy hooked up to it. Problem is that the dummy can't hold on to anything.
Yeah.
So the dummy's clothes kept flying off and shit.
Surprised they didn't like staple it to the dummy or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they did. If they did anything to it, the fucking clothes kept flying off. So they actually had to fucking scrap it. And what happened is a lot of what you see at the end is all post-production. So they're adding all the fucking bodies into it.
Yeah.
As they're fucking flying or going across the fucking line. And then the horrible ending of Air Force One when fucking just crashes
into the ocean.
That was topples.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That was the worst scene in the movie, in my opinion, when it came to the CGI. It just looked really bad. But back in the 90s when I saw it in the theater, it looked amazing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. See, the thing was nowadays
scale is pretty good.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when this came out in 97, I saw this at the theater when it came out. I remember my parents actually took me to see it because I was really excited to see this. And I remember seeing it in the theater and seeing the fucking plane going down, and I thought it was one of the coolest things ever. It was like really like just awesome, you know, special effects. But then when you watch it nowadays, you know, 20, 30 years later, and you see what it looks like compared to the CGI nowadays, you could tell how dated it is. It's not.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. So, I mean, like I said, of the time when we were watching it, it was great.
You know what I would really love to see? I would have really loved to see a tan midget at Ramstein Air Force Base, you know, screaming as the plane's coming in.
The plane! God damn it, man. Just recently pass away?
Wouldn't it have also been awesome if the plane was coming down, then you see one of the fucking Martian from Mars Attacks, the UFO.
Just coming.
The plane goes down, and then you got the president on the plane. Then you see one of the UFOs come by and blow up the fucking new Air Force One. I don't know why I got
son that. Son of a bitch.
Oh, shit. That would have been a pretty good ending.
One thing I would have been something that did not ring true to me. So if the president is taken hostage.
Yeah,
they would enact, what is that, Article 25. They would enact that real, real fucking quick.
Yep.
What was Article 23?
Article 25.
Go ahead.
It's basically the president is currently incapacitated and cannot perform his duties as...
to the point where the vice president takes over.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they were pushing. Or
that's what they were pushing with that. Yeah. What was that dude? He was
Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. But also the actor, Quantum Leap.
He's
passed. Stockwell. Yeah. He actually, I thought R. that R. he, what did you R. think R. of him R. in Stockwell. That? In that little
did
role.
Great. Did wonderful. I always enjoyed anything I saw Dean Stockwell in.
Yeah.
Did great. Very, very believable. And the setting up of the constitutional, questions, whether, if we're currently in a wartime situation, because we do have certain rules.
So you don't think he was being a dick? You think he was
doing his
fucking job.
Yeah.
100% doing
it. But Glenn Close is the first lady's character. She was on the side of the president.
Yes.
I believe she was.
Well, no, because when she said that, I don't want a plane full of dead people. I mean, I remember her saying that.
I believe she's trusting in the president's ability, knowing what the president is capable of.
Because he was in Vietnam. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have your certain amount of training that you do go through for everything. So I believe that she was trusting in his ability and knowing... Personally, knowing him, that he would be able to,
realistically, you still wouldn't put that fucking chance.
No.
And honestly, as soon as the president outside of the control, all right, bam, sorry, he is incapacitated. We can no longer be sure anything he fucking says or does
is not compromised.
Yeah. So we need to remove him from the board and take away all power and enact Article 25 and grant power to the next up, which will be the VP.
Yep.
That's
plain and simple. Anytime a president goes in for surgery and potential shit goes on, they enact a temporary Art 25.
Well, the thing that he pointed out was that he's no longer the president. He's a father and a husband instead of being the president. So he's more worried about...
You can't know for sure anything he says or does, what position it's coming from.
Yeah.
And that's why you would enact Article 25, to remove that question.
Yeah.
And you want to give it to a person who is in control and was democratically put there, which in this case would be the VP.
But we got Harrison Ford.
Well, so and that's why that's why he called the Russian president, is because...
He was compromised.
He was compromised.
Yes.
You know, I 100%. Mean, he had his, it was either his wife or his daughter.
They would have
acted, or the country. Yeah,
they would have enacted Article 25 long before that.
Oh, absolutely.
Long before
They would have.
And rightfully so. 100% rightfully so. As great as it was to see Harrison Ford being fucking badass Harrison Ford, realistic, it had no basis, you know, in reality. Yeah. This whole film had no basis in reality.
Well, this movie is... probably would be voted as very non-realistic, but it's just very...
Oh, it's great.
Good story and entertaining.
That's every 90s and 80s action film.
Yeah, but this is a more political... I'd say a more political action film, I mean, compared to other ones that there is. This is very political.
It shows... I think it shows the ability that...
It doesn't have to be real to be entertaining. Air Force
One can get compromised.
Yeah.
You know, now what's portrayed in the movie... may not fully be as accurate to what is actually there.
Right. Yeah, no, you're not getting out of that one alive.
But nobody's ever going to fully know the full extent of Air Force One or Air Force Two, because Air Force Two is an exact replica of Air Force One.
Right.
But Air Force One is any plane that is carrying the president.
Yeah.
That's why, and same with the Marine One, any helo that is carrying the president, that is its call sign.
Yeah.
So
I will have the note about, I know it's off like a little future in the movie, but the death of Gary Oldman's character, I thought was great. I think it's one of the best.
His death was pretty fucking cool.
Because when you see Harrison Ford rapping. It's got the iconic
line on it, too.
Oh, yeah. Get off my plane.
Yeah.
Get off my plane. But, I mean, the thing that I loved about it is just the fact that he took that strap and wrapped it around his neck. And then when he let that parachute go, and it just pulled him, and it just broke his neck. And then you just see him just slowly just drop out. And you just see his body just flying with his head like on the side, broken neck going down. I thought that was fucking great. I thought that was a good villainous death.
It was.
Yeah. Crystal was pissed off during that little fight scene.
He also got to land back in his homeland.
That's true.
It was just.
I didn't even think about that.
Right. Yep. That's true.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Airdrop package. Yeah. You guys left something with us.
Right. I did feel bad because I understood Gary Oldman's character.
Yeah,
I did. Yes, he was doing a quote unquote bad thing.
He was a terrorist,
but he was doing what he believed was right for his homeland, for his family. Just because we as Americans are viewing from one point of view doesn't mean 100% we're always right. That's it.
It's actually a good segue into a clip right here. Oh, wrong one.
God damn it, Ron.
He's drunk.
All right.
Give him a break.
It's the first time you ever seen a man killed, huh?
Leave her alone.
You think I'm a monster?
I did like this.
That I would kill this man. Somebody's son. Somebody's father. I am somebody's son, too. I have three small children. Doesn't it surprise you? Tell her to answer.
You leave her alone.
Shut up!
Why did you kill him?
Because I believe. When I shoot this man, I know in that instant how deep was my belief. I would turn my back on God himself for Mother Russia. My doubts, my fears,
my own private morality. It dissolves in this moment. For this love. You know your father, he has also killed. Is he a bad man?
That's not true.
Why? Because he does it in a tuxedo with a telephone call and a smart bomb.
It's not wrong.
You are a monster.
I did identify with
him. And my father is a great man. You're nothing like my father.
Yeah, so right there, exactly. Yeah, yeah. This is why I identify with this character. Anybody who has served in an active war zone.
Yeah.
Going against an opposition in their home territory. You know the people you are going against are viewing us as the bad guys.
Right? Yeah.
Plain and simple. They view they're the right, we're the wrong. We are an invading force upon their homeland. And that's why they fight with the ferocity that they do. Just like we would also if somebody came over here and started, you know, fucking around and finding out.
Right.
To realistically try to judge what the actual true right versus the actual true wrong, it's a really fucking hard way to fucking look at it. We hope anything we're doing is the right thing to do. But realistically, let's say the people of Reddick's fucking country are fucking, you know, they're starving, they got no supplies, they got no fucking shit like that. They're gonna turn around, they may blame Russia because when they were under communism rule and shit like that, they actually had, you know, goods, you know, a regular food line or a regular, you know, shit to take care of them, and now they don't have it anymore, and they look at Russia falling and being this Democrat thing.
Yeah.
But now the people are starving. The people don't have fucking, you know, anything set up. So they're going to view that they don't care about the people and stuff like that, potentially. I'm just trying to make a generalized argument. And that's what they're exposed to and what they're believing in.
Each side is fighting for what is right on their end.
And from what they perceive to be right.
Yeah.
So that's why I felt sympathetic to Gary Oldman's character, especially when he talks about, you know, he has his own daughters and, you know, he's doing what he does.
Because, he was a son and he is a father.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and he does point out, right, the president does kill people. Every fucking goddamn piece of paper and order that he fucking signs and to do any sort of military action, you are signing the death warrants of somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right, you are, you know, ordering the death and the and destruction of families. That's what you're doing. So whether you're doing it from behind a desk in a tuxedo or you're whether doing it on the battlefield, you are a murderer.
Right.
That's why I think Gary Oldman's character worked so well, because he played it from that belief. He wasn't just playing it as some, you know, weird 80s fucking action flick mentality. Like, I am Russian, blah, 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 blah. No, he was playing a sympathetic understanding who was fighting for what he truly believed.
He was playing a soldier. I mean, he was just fighting for his, he was just doing for what he believed was right in his country. So, he would be considered a hero on his side, even though you'd be a villain on our side. And sometimes it could be the other way around. So, I mean, I can understand what you're saying there.
The lines are very misconstrued.
Yeah.
Between what we think is right and what we think is wrong.
Right.
What somebody else thinks is right and what somebody else thinks is wrong.
Yeah. There's no telling who's right and who's wrong, tell you the truth.
No, there's not. You know, and this movie shows that pretty fucking well, actually, for, you know, being a late 90s movie, you know, comparing it to nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you that what I believe is right, you believe is wrong, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, but when you put my family's life in danger, then that's when it completely changes.
Yeah.
You know, to try and get your point across.
Yeah.
You know, so that's when, like, he's not the president anymore. He's a father. He's a husband. He's going to do what he has to do to save his family.
Yep.
You know? And that whole fight sequence there, like I said earlier, is when Gary Oldman actually, he clocked Harrison Ford pretty fucking well too.
No, that was a really brutal scene inside the, I guess that's like the,
communication cabin or something like that.
Yeah, like the command center.
It's like right behind the pilot's part of the plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, smashing him on the ground. There was glass there, and then pushing him again. I mean, punching him. I mean, and telling him, you'll stop with these fucking lies and everything else. Yeah. It was a really well put together fight sequence, basically. Yeah. And I love the fact that Harrison Ford grabs a piece of glass and is cutting his hands no matter what. But
the whole time.
Yeah. But he gets loose, and it's a good movie, man. I fucking love this movie.
Well, it's funny. It's like a lot. I think almost every Harrison Ford movie that I've seen, the way that he fights is all the same.
Yeah. He always gets beat the hell up.
You know, he gets his ass kicked, but like
then Blade Runner. That's another.
But at the very end, like, yeah. he prevails.
Yeah.
But like his, I don't know, the way that he moves and the way that he punches is that like it's a full body.
Mm-hmm.
Like it goes, like his whole body fucking throws into.
Yeah.
Like his punch or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I don't know.
It's Hail Marys every time.
Yeah. You know, that's like a fucking full body one.
Yeah.
I want to know what is your guys' favorite, or not even really favorite, but most enjoyable Harrison Ford movie?
Well, that's easy for me. That's
Ron.
Oh, if I were to pick my favorite, I mean, it's Indiana Jones. I'd take Indiana Jones trilogy altogether, yeah. or all the Indiana Jones movies, even though the fourth one's not as good, but I still would take it in there. And strong second would be Blade Runner. I like
the aliens.
Huh?
The aliens.
Oh, Crystal Skull is got its problems, but it's still Indiana Jones, and I love Harrison Ford as Indy, so it's still in my favorites. But Blade Runner is my strong second. I loved him in Blade Runner. Blade Runner's another good one, but yeah, there's my two. So, yeah. Chase, how about you?
Chase,
I'm a big fan of Blade Runner.
It's a great fucking movie.
Yeah, so I think I'd have to go with Blade Runner being my first, Indiana Jones being second.
Yeah.
Are we ranking all of them or just comparing them?
No. I just gave my second, yeah, you know, strong second. What's yours, Stu?
Han Solo.
I figured that.
Yeah. Absolutely Han Solo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's basically just Indiana Jones.
You know what's a really underrated one from him, though?
Indiana Jones is Han Solo in the past.
You know what's okay. Hey, all right. You know what's actually a really underrated one from him? The Mosquito Coast. That's a good movie.
Yeah, and also
really good.
I liked him in American Graffiti. I liked him in American.
He's good in that too.
That was a good one.
He was good in that.
But no,
Witness.
I mean, there's so many great roles. But also, if you really think about it, Han Solo or not Han Solo,
Harrison Ford. Yeah,
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, you know when Han Solo, he was Harrison like running Ford through the jungle.
Is Harrison Ford in every role that he plays?
He really is.
He actually played a Russian submarine commander in K-19, The Widowmaker.
I thought he was pretty decent in that.
But
for the most part, it's always Harrison Ford in this circumstance.
Yeah.
All right. It's not like he's really flexing any sort of stretch of acting roles. All right.
Well, it's also you got
Harrison Ford in space.
You also think Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe's the same way.
Yeah. No, I don't take anything away from that.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's just, there's certain actors that, like, we talked about, he is always that person.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Harrison Ford in Clear and Present Danger.
Yep.
Harrison Ford in, you know, K-19, The Widowmaker.
The Fugitive.
Another good one.
Yeah.
It's how is Harrison Ford going to respond to this circumstance?
Yeah.
And that's what we get to see.
Yeah.
All right. And it's always the same thing. He doesn't vary his reactions, mannerisms, roles. He doesn't vary anything. It's, all right, this is how I'm responding to what is going on around me. You like it or not.
Yeah.
What is yours?
Man.
Just like Sean Connery was the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I
love Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I love the many role that he was in.
Like, it's tough. Like, I mean, all of his movies are fucking great.
Well, he's had some bad ones.
Oh, God, I forgot about the Frisco Kid. Dude.
Yeah. He was also in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, he was.
For a short.
Very short.
Well, you're going to hear that. So Stu has to pee.
Yeah.
Gotta pee-pee.
Gotta go to the bathroom.
I would say Call of the Wild.
Pee-pee.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie. I actually, when that came out and I bought that digitally and I watched it, I was very impressed with it. With the dog.
I like that one because it's him.
Yeah.
There's nobody else. Not a lot of actors can pull off being by themselves.
Yeah.
The whole movie is just him. Obviously,
you have his dog.
and his CGI dog.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I mean, yeah, you have obvious scenes in, you know, like in Alaska, you know, in town.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, like, it's just him reacting and acting.
Yeah. No, no, that's
by himself.
That's a good movie, actually.
So, you know, that one there I really, really like. Along with, you know, him as Han Solo, him as in, Indiana Jones.
To me, Indiana Jones is his staple. That's like his role. I know Han Solo is what he's remembered for. I know Stu would say that, but the thing about Han Solo is...
I don't know. I disagree. I think he's remembered as in there for both.
He actually, that's his favorite role.
I think it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. Well, no, but his favorite role is Indiana Jones. That is his favorite role that he has done his lifetime. And that's why he wanted to do a fourth one to basically have a... Because Crystal Skull was our fifth one. The Kingdom of Crystal Skull was not as good, and he wanted to go in a blaze of glory, and that's why he's making this one, and he's retiring after this one. So
let's hope it's a good one.
I'm holding my breath. I have faith in this one because the director is a very good director. James Mangold has directed. He directed Logan. He did great films, Ferrari versus Ford, and the Wolverine. I mean, he's done really good films. So I have strong faith in Indiana Jones 5. I really do. Yeah. And we're definitely going to be doing a hot take on that one when that comes out in June. So that's going to be me and Stu are going to be a guest on Genre Geeks for that episode.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Nice. As long as I bring back Shia LaBeouf, I'm all in. It's not happening. You want to do the pirate reviews?
Yeah, I think we're all set on this one here.
Yeah, no, this was a fun one. It actually got really, really good. Got serious there. I actually enjoyed that little political talk.
See, I'm not just a pretty face.
You're not
exactly.
Well, I'll go ahead and start because I'll end at you.
Yeah.
So no, I can't let this pass. Crystal and I, we were talking earlier. I don't exactly know how the conversation came up, but we were talking about, the ethics of living at a nudist colony and, how bad you would have to be. Like, who could possibly be bad enough that somebody would come to you and say, you've got to put your clothes on? And at that very moment, we received a text message from the group chat from Stu, and it was this guy.
That is awesome. That makes me happy, actually. That makes me joy. Yes.
All right.
So we laughed for a good 15 minutes about that one before we could come over.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and give my pipe review. So critically, I'm going to give this a probably about a 3.5. I think this is a very well-made action film. The CGI was a week, of course, but... It was an edge of the seat thriller. I mean, you didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, Harrison Ford kept his own, and Gary Oldman did great at his villainous role. And when you think you can't think of him as a villain again, because like, I'm going by your standards on that. You know, you identify him.
He fights for what he believes in.
Exactly. So I feel like it was a very strong role, and I think that Harrison Ford did great. Gary Oldman did great. William H. Macy did great. I enjoyed his little short role that he did. We didn't really talk about him all that much.
I was going to say, it was weird seeing...
Like, honestly, rewatching the film, and opening credits, they say, William H. Macy. I'm like, oh, shit, you forgot about him.
Fucking movie. It's weird seeing...
The second I see him, I'm like, oh, that's right, he was!
Yeah. It's just weird seeing Frank Galligan, as an official,
Mr. President.
Yeah.
But overall, it was just a very... Critically, it was made. Wolfgang Peterson has made great movies. I mean, Outbreak, In the Line of Fire, Troy.
I love his restaurants.
Huh?
I love his restaurants.
He's got some tasty places.
He does. Yeah.
But perfect story. I mean, he's done great movies, and this one was a true good action flick. It was very entertaining. I enjoyed the hell out of this in the theater. This was fun when I saw it when it first came out. Did you guys see it in the theater? I don't know if you did.
I don't remember seeing it.
Okay, yeah,
I think it was video.
I saw this in my private theater 3 days ago.
Jeez.
Word.
That was when you first saw it?
This was his first time seeing it. Yeah, that's interesting.
No, this is why I enjoy having Chase. I don't like him as a person, but I enjoy him. Wow. No, but I enjoy knowing that a lot of the films will go over
it's going to be a new perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't tainted.
Don't worry. We like you as a person. Yeah. You're fine.
But I appreciate you.
Overall.
I think Crystal tolerates you as a person.
No, she puts up with my ass.
So this is a very American action thriller that is worthy of watching. It's recommended for enjoyment. I will give this a 4. I mean, seriously, this is a great political thriller. I enjoy everything about it. I can watch this over and over and not get bored of it. It's a very good movie. My daughter, my oldest daughter, watched this for the first time. It was basically her second R-rated movie because she's only 11 years old. I let her watch Aliens. So I let her watch this. This is a very tame R-rated movie, though.
So he actually, Clear and Present Danger, right, was rated R.
Oh, yeah, he appealed it.
And he appealed it to get it rated down to PG-13. He did the same thing with this one and tried to get it rated down to PG-13.
But they said no.
But it failed.
Which is crazy because it's a very PG-13 movie. Like, nowadays, this movie would be PG-13. There's only two fucks in the movie, and it's violent, but there's PG-13 movies that are more shit. The Lone Ranger from Disney is more violent than this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's just I am very shocked at that. But the fact is, my daughter, she said this is one of her new favorite films.
Nice.
My daughter loved this film, my oldest. She enjoyed the hell out of it. I love this movie. I'm glad my daughters got to see it. They both enjoyed it. Even my youngest liked it. But this is a strong recommendation. It's a very solid film from Harrison Ford. I mean, like I said, Harrison Ford never goes wrong. He's got a couple bad ones, just a couple, but he's got more good than bad. Four for enjoyment and 3.5 for critical. Chase, it's all you, buddy.
Critically,
first time that's seen it only 3 days ago.
No, critically, I enjoyed this quite a bit, actually.
Holy shit.
Really well felt out characters.
See the shadow?
Yeah.
Of the Blair Witch?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It just looks cool. I don't know.
It's like perfectly framed.
I know. It's squirrel. Just like, yeah. Sorry. Just look at that.
No.
Pretty damn cool.
Would you just look at that?
I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize.
Would you look at that?
Go ahead, Chase. Sorry.
Isn't that just special? Isn't that just special?
Just really well felt out characters, very believable cast. It was put together pretty nicely. I would have to say, from a critical standpoint, I don't know why. I just don't feel like I can give it a full 4, but it's up there. I'll settle for a 3.5.
Good.
And enjoyability. John Wick is more my speed for a action flick.
You know? I could see that. Yeah.
It was fun to watch. It's kind of meh to me. I'd probably give it a 3.
It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, would you recommend it?
For a beer flick. Yeah.
Really?
Sit down, have a beer, watch an action movie with Harrison Ford, you know.
What else is new?
I'm not going to say it's a bad fucking movie, but, you know, that's... You know, I'm not about to say.
You don't give much praise for older movies as much. It's more anything 2000 and up is what it goes for. It's very rare.
Generation.
Yeah, that's why I like having you on the show.
Maybe I just suck.
Removing the.
No, you don't suck. It's just so. It's just so weird.
That we had, you know, completely from the equation.
Yeah,
I enjoy that.
Yeah, I respect your review. It's just it's so. Because there's some movie because there's some classic movies that you don't like. Fifth Element, I think you gave Fifth Element like a big strong review. I remember that, and that was made in 1997. But that's futuristic, Bruce Willis, and you know it's a fun movie. But no, I respect that. I respect that. 3, and you said a 3.
Yeah, I just it's a good movie. I just can't say it hooked me.
Yeah,
and threw me into the experience.
So it's not something you'd rewatch.
I wouldn't change the channel if it was on.
Gotcha. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Stu.
Critically, maybe a 3. Maybe a 3.
Yeah.
Overall acting was decent. Special effects. Some good, some bad.
I think that's what brings a lot of our reviews down, ratings down.
Score, good.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a damn good score.
Yeah.
Written within a month.
And it didn't feel that way. It really didn't.
That's Jerry Goldsmith.
It was cohesive.
Well, you remember 13th Warrior.
I mean the score. The score was written within a month. Okay, I thought you meant the movie.
You meant the movie.
Yeah, too. I was like, I would not have guessed that at all.
13th Warrior was the same way where it was a rejected score and Jerry Goldsmith was brought in and you saw how good that score was. Yeah.
a lot of the camera angles worked really well. The pacing I thought was on point. Overall, you know, better than average film.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoyment, a 4. It's not, it's one of those things that I won't turn off if I happen to come across it.
Yeah.
I'll let it finish out no matter where I'm at, because I know I'm going to enjoy everything that's left.
Right.
And I've always been a fan of the film. Since the first time I've seen it, every time I've seen it, numerous times since then, always enjoyed it. I definitely recommend people seeing this. And it's fucked up that it harkens to a simpler time. I mean, if you think about it, as convoluted and weird and everything that seems going on,
you watch this and you're like, oh, the good old days. Yes.
And it just really made me feel that way. And I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
This world is fucked now.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't we just be friends anymore? but no, I'm glad we did this film. Absolutely glad. All right. Ragnar?
Close this out, Ragnar.
Yeah, buddy. So, critically, pretty average, I think, on everyone's. It's about 3.25. It's a good film. It's got pretty fucking decent acting in there. CGI at the very end, fucking absolute shit show. And I think that there is the major fucking downfall of this movie.
But like I said,
I would say
of the time when I saw it, it was amazing.
Yeah, but big failures. But like,
that's the thing.
Then, though,
I would say that the big failures of this movie was opening scene, the one-on-one combat between Harrison Ford and henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Harrison Ford with Gary Oldman, fantastic scenes.
Yeah.
But against the henchmen was empty.
Yeah.
It was very hollow. That just kind of pissed me off most of the time.
Kind of flipping that henchman like backwards on his back was actually a pretty decent move.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And taking the stool to the fucking face.
Yeah.
Bro, I was cheering for that one. Like, legit, I was fist pumping at that point. but then just knocking him out and leave him there.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's no.
Yeah.
I bet you he has a knife, or you could do something. You
Slit need his throat. To
like make sure he's not getting back up. Mm-hmm. Little things that would piss me off throughout the whole deal.
I think part of it also was
90s.
No, Harrison's Ford character wasn't wanting to kill these people.
Well,
no.
That he sucks for you, bro. Yeah. You have a lethal threat on a confined container.
I understand 100%. Agree 100%. But also, he mentally wanted that to be the only option left before he did it.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I understand.
All right.
But I felt that Harrison Ford did a great job of portraying.
I'm a very cut and dry fucking person when it comes to that kind of thing.
I understand.
That's just me. She tells me I'm a cold psychopath, but.
You're very warm and loving.
Yes. Snuggles,
big huggables. Yeah, so 3.25 on critical. You know, just like Chase said, there are scenes I think to where it could have been changed, but I think it would have diminished the actual character of Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
in his beliefs and how he portrayed it.
I wasn't even thinking about that. You're right.
Yeah.
Because that would affect how you really felt for the protagonist.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if he went your route with it a little bit, it would have changed
the family interaction.
Well, yeah, one, the family interaction, and also like him itself, his persona.
Yeah.
You know. Enjoyment level, about a 4. You know, it's a great movie.
Okay.
So we're all about the same.
You know, I'm not going to turn it off if it's on.
Yeah.
If I'm bored, I'll look it up and I'll find it, you know. But it's, you know, I think we all saw this probably around the same fucking time, you know.
Yeah, I'm the only one that saw it in the theater, apparently. But
yeah, like I said, I don't know if
this was fun in the theater.
Yeah.
I like I said, when I saw it in the theater, this was one of my favorite movies when I was younger. I loved it, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was just a fun movie, and so glad I got to see this in the theater. So glad.
You know, I know this is fictional, you know, but I think, you know, this is how a sitting president should be.
Exactly.
Should act.
No, that's a standing president, you know. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Nah. A standing president. There we go. You know, an incumbent president should be, you know, and not sit idly by and let policies fucking go by and not do anything about them. You know, this is the United States of America. We are the greatest fucking country in the world. Stand up for your shit and protect the people that are closest to you.
Yeah.
You know, stand up for what's right, stand up for what's wrong. And this movie here shows exactly what Harrison Ford's character does.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he does that. And it was a joy. It was fun. It was absolutely fun to discuss this movie tonight.
It was.
And enjoy all the shenanigans and fuckery that always happens.
Yeah, my punishment shots.
It was
fun.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
And you're going to sleep really well tonight, Ron. Yeah.
Hey, Farmer. I'm going to pass out
that,
good.
What's that place with all the stuff on the wall? You mean shenanigans? Shenanigans?
Well, that was the person that says shenanigans, and I'm a pistol whip him.
I'm glad you took. I'm glad you hosted this one. It was a fun show. Definitely a lot of good talk. Well, that's the end of our show. So we got to let you guys know. You guys got to check out our Deluxe Edition Network.
Yes.
Got some great shows on there. We got Uncapped. I mean, Take on the World podcast is great. Those guys are great.
Yes. Metalhead Journey.
Yes. Horsing Around and Paranormal Experience and Twilight and Terror. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they got some good ones.
They're interesting.
They got some good ones.
Definitely check these guys out. Check everybody out on our network. This is a great network that we're so proud to be a part of. And also, you got to check out our Patreon.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously,
do.
Because we want to make some extra shows for you guys. Seriously, we got some good ones coming for you.
Honestly, it not even just for the shows. Just if you're a fan of this, I mean, honestly, most of y'all are listening to this 100% free. You got to suffer through a couple ads and stuff like that. And this costs us money. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Not to be fucking a bum and shit like that. This costs us money.
We all work full time, too. That's the thing.
Single episode, we're spending a decent chunk of change between the product we put out, the alcohol we imbibe. And if you want to help us shoulder this burden, please fucking do. Yeah. Honestly, please.
It would help a lot, man.
Yes.
I'm working full time job, and I'm late on rent, man.
Exactly.
our link for, I mean, seriously, at the bottom of our show description, there's a thing called support the show. Just press that
link. Whether it's a one time, want to throw us a few bucks, or, you know, a monthly rolling subscription, we'd absolutely appreciate anything you do.
Yeah.
And then our top Patreon, donators, you know, each month we're going to give special shout outs to and stuff like that. And we got big plans we would like to be able to do, you know, for everybody who supports us if we ever hit those points. But we got special episodes coming out for Patreon subscribers.
And they're just for you.
Just for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty, dirty girls.
We're not going that route yet.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Just like I said, press that link and support our show if you can. We'd love that. So
yes,
we're gonna go ahead and say goodbye tonight. So we will see you guys on our next show coming up. So see you later.
Get off my goddamn plane.
Get off my plane. Hey guys, this is Ron. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Barrel Age Flicks. 2022 has been an amazing year with our great shows, including BAF, The Small Batch, and The Tasting Room. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Guys, this helps out enormously. Give us a follow on Instagram at Barrel Age Flicks Podcast. If you would like to send us a special film request, please contact us via Instagram and we will give you a personal shout out on the show. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Our podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Audible, Pocket Cast, Spotify, CastBox, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. Special thanks to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio on YouTube for his awesome music. This guy fucking rocks. Check him out. Want to give a shout out to Sammy, one of our guest hosts on the show, who does our amazing album artwork.
Thank you, Sammy. Our podcast only exists because of listeners like you. To find other great shows, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Hope you join us for our next episode. Later, guys.